no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
And today we're talking with Professor Damien Kingsbury, who's at the Deakin University, Associate Professor of Political Science, and who spent a lot of time in East Timor as an independent observer over the years. Good afternoon, Damien.
Good afternoon.
A bit disturbing to see the news of the demonstrations and the students being arrested, 20 or so far, and a lot of tension in the country, which I guess you're used to. But the demonstrations seem to be part of the mounting pressure placed on Shinano over the last 6 months or so, and largely due to his efforts to push through a number of very controversial legislative items. Do you think Shinano's ability as a political leader might be becoming a little bit questionable?
Yeah, look, there's always going to be an issue with political leadership when you transfer from what amounts to a charismatic position to one which has to assume day-to-day responsibility. Shinano was certainly a charismatic leader and was widely regarded as such in East Timor. But when the charismatic leader has to take responsibility for day-to-day affairs, that really tests their organisational ability. And I think that Shinano is shown to be like most other political leaders in that he sometimes gets it wrong, and that's damaged his standing quite considerably.
But it isn't just, I mean, obviously the problems come from the administrative problems, that it's got an understaffed public service, and but a lot of the issues he's been coming under attack for are related to the transparency of the system and the way he seems to be putting through legislation that even members of his own coalition are not very happy with. I mean, one of the things the students are demonstrating about were his gun laws, allowing private citizens to have guns if the police allow them, give them a license.
But yeah, look, that's quite a legitimate point. I think when I talk about administration, I don't just mean the processes of bureaucracy, but the capacity to make good policy decisions. And clearly, some policy decisions have been made which have been less than well thought through. The proposed gun laws, I think, was a mistake. East Timor certainly doesn't need to develop a gun culture. And I think most of the political people in East Timor recognise that and are opposed to it. But what we've seen most recently, which I think was a very an act of very poor judgment on Shinano's part, was the signing of a deal to purchase rice with the vice president of his own political party. Now, that deal's worth about $14 million, and the process was not put out to tender. There was no independent assessment of the contract. Now, whilst it might be okay, and, of course, whilst it might be intended to secure East Timor's food security, the process was simply not a transparent one, and that does raise questions of corruption. So that was, I think, a very poor decision on Shinano's part.
Yeah, I mean, rice and food is becoming an increasingly important issue in the third world now, and I think preceding that issue was the biofuel project, which, you know, the details were only released about a month ago, and there was some kind of contract signed in January with an Indonesian company to use, you know, like I think it was a quarter of the arable land for a sugarcane growing project with a biofuel for biofuel purposes.
Well, I think it depends on how you understand arable land in East Timor. My understanding is it wasn't anything like a quarter of the arable land. It was certainly a sizable section of land, but that land was not actually in use for agricultural purposes. So in that sense, it wasn't going to diminish East Timor's food self-sufficiency, because that land just wasn't being used at all. Having said that, of course, there's debate about the desirability of producing crops for biofuel, but I think the question really is whether or not it was going to have an impact on food security. I think, secondly, whether or not this would provide an alternative source of income to East Timor, which the country, I think, still desperately needs. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, if there was likely to be any technology transfer involved in this. If, for example, there was likely to be a processing plant established in East Timor which would allow the conversion of sugarcane into fuel in East Timor, which would then start leading to transfers of skill and technology. And I think East Timor desperately needs that. So if that was part of the arrangement, it's probably not such a bad idea. But, of course, this went through the normal processes. Some people aren't happy with it, but I suspect that there's an element of the unhappiness about this is simply around the nature of opposition, and that is whatever the government does, it's got to be wrong, regardless of the good sense or otherwise involved in the situation.
Yeah, perhaps that's where the issue of political leadership might might make a difference. All right, and I just wonder if the there's been a lot of talk too about elements inside Shanana's coalition, which is called the AMP. Some of them saying that some parties saying that if there is an election, that they would form, they would run with Fretlin as a new coalition, as a Fretlin coalition, a Fretlin-led coalition. Could you comment on that? How likely is that? Is that?
Well, that's very interesting. What we've seen is the ASDT party has said that next year it will leave the AMP, the governing coalition, and will join with Fretlin. The problem is, I think you've really got to watch what politicians do and pay much less attention to what they say. If a politician is serious about leaving a coalition in government, then they simply do it. They don't talk about it, they do it. And you certainly don't announce your intentions 12 months out saying we're going to leave in 12 months, but for the time being we're going to stay in government, enjoy all the benefits of that government. Now, I'm actually quite doubtful that this will actually happen. On the other hand, Shanana has taken the threat quite seriously, and he's signed up a couple of small parties to replace ASDT. So I think even if ASDT leaves the coalition, Shanana will be assured of maintaining a parliamentary majority and be able to continue in government. So the chances of elections next year as a consequence of the split in the government, I think, are very slim at this stage. Of course, you know, we've still got a long way to go. Things could change, and coalitions are, by definition, inherently unstable. So it could be that it comes apart. But at this stage, it doesn't look like it, and I think that we just really have to wait to see how that particular issue plays out in the longer term.
Well, obviously, clearly, Shanana is under a lot of pressure, and what was your take on the treatment of the students and the demonstration? Is it a bit of an overreaction on his part?
Well, I don't know if it's an overreaction on Shanana's part. Certainly, there's been a very significant number of arrests in the last few days. I think it's now getting close to around 40, at last I heard. But part of the problem is that the students were demonstrating at the university, but the university is directly opposite the parliament. And there is a law which says you can't demonstrate within 100 metres of the parliament, and these students were clearly within that parameter. Having said that, they were on the grounds of the university, so there's a question as to whether that exempts them from that particular requirement. But the police certainly have reacted very strongly. And I think that probably is more of an institutional issue with the police and perhaps less a political issue. The police had a reputation for brutality under the previous Fretlin government as well as the current government. And this seems to reflect their history, many of them being former members of the Indonesian police and having been recruited into the Timorese police force. So perhaps their training under the Indonesians led them to believe that they could behave like this and that was acceptable behaviour. But it's not really what you would have expected in a free and non-authoritarian society.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's, police culture is problematical wherever you are, I think, in many ways. But, well, thanks very much for talking to us, Damon.
My pleasure, Warwick.
I hope to talk to you again sometime.
And my pleasure, I hope too. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.